Most of us can relate to Charlie Brown. We start adding up our fears, and pretty soon we realize we are afraid of everything. I used to be so afraid of spiders, and then I moved to Florida. Florida has these giant wolf spiders that grow about this big, and they come at you. They're aggressive. And so I after 3 months there, I was picking them up with my hand and dropping them in the cereal and just eating them. Because you can't live in Florida and be afraid of spiders or bugs or alligators or tourists or anything. I mean, really, Florida is the bravest state in the union. I've got to believe that. My wife was always afraid of snakes. So much so when she was growing up with her sister used to chase her around the house with the S encyclopedia opened to the snake section. If you've never seen an encyclopedia, think Wikipedia that's printed out and bound in a book. And that's what encyclopedias are. We are all born with two fears. A fear of falling and a fear of loud noises. All other fears are acquired or learned, usually early in life. Now, there are three basic types of fears. We have the holy fear, which we read about in the scriptures. And the holy fear is the reverence, the respect, the awe of the Almighty God as our creator and sustainer and savior. There is a self-preserving fear. This is a God-given instinct that compels us to run from danger, to protect ourselves and others. Those are good fears. But there is a third fear. This slavish fear, we'll call it. This is a fear that overtakes us. This is a fear that leads to phobias. This is a fear that kills expressions of love, that erodes our self-confidence, that can damage our faith in God and our trust in Him. Let me give you some examples of this type of fear. Some people possess an overwhelming fear of potential disaster. When your kids are 15 minutes late, do you think the worst? Are you constantly afraid of losing your job, that you'll just make one mistake and they'll get rid of you? Are you a Weather Channel junkie, that you're watching all the tornado reports and even though they're hundreds of miles away, you know they're coming for you and your house? Do you check the doors every night numerous times to make sure they're locked, bolted, and barred? If you're a perfectionist, you might fear losing control. You work hard to maintain control over everything in your life. You control every decision. You question your family. You have them check with you on picking out clothes and choosing a meal and the evening's entertainment. And you often panic at the thought of your young kids grown up and outside of your influence. Others fear revealing who they are. You remain silent about your past. You're worried that people will find out your past secret, your deep, dark secret, your family secret, and they'll hold it against you. I've known many people who are afraid of disappointing others. Some women will stay for years in abusive relationships because they're afraid of disappointing their parents or their friends or their kids, and some are afraid of being alone. Children will often choose occupations they hate, marry people they don't love in order to please their parents or uphold the family name rather than disappoint anyone. And there are so many who fear rejection. A spouse or a parent can hold them in bondage by threatening to abandon them if they don't give up or if they don't meet the parents' expectations. You see, through all this, we realize God doesn't want us enslaved to this paralyzing and ungodly fear. In Jesus' parable of the talents, a man was given one talent to invest. Now, in this case, a talent is not a singing ability or a teaching ability. It's a sum of money. So he's given this sum of money to invest, and instead he buries it in the ground because he is afraid of what would happen if he took a risk, if he lost the money, if his master came back and was very upset about that. But Jesus condemned the man for allowing an ungodly fear of rejection to overtake him, to steal his courage, to make him lazy, to make decisions or take an action based on the slavish fear can be considered disobedience. I mean, God commanded us in his word that we're to trust him, that we're to put our faith in him. But to do otherwise in life is to disobey. It shows a lack of faith in God's promises or God's word. It's not our intention, but we get caught up in our fears. We get caught up in all the things that are around us that could happen, that might happen. And it changes our focus. It steals it off Jesus Christ, steals it off God's word, and puts it on the fear itself. Be afraid. God doesn't want our fears to motivate us to inaction or wrong action. Rather than becoming slaves to our fears, we've got to learn to tame our fears, to channel them correctly by focusing on God's promises in his word. Promises like this one: the spirit we receive does not make us slaves again to fear. It makes us children of God. And what Paul is saying here is, you're a child of the King. Act like it. Your Father has all the power. He is sitting on his throne. You act like it. You don't have to be afraid of anything Satan throws at you or anything that happens in life. You are a child of the King. Heavenly Father loves his children. He loves you, and he's going to take care of you. I just finished reading the book of Joshua again, and I love to read this book. It inspires me every time. Because Joshua had many, many fears, many worries, many concerns, and yet he focused on God's promises. The Lord told him, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to the Israelites." So three times in this first chapter, God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. He said, you're going to have difficulty. There's a lot of stuff out there. I want you to be strong and courageous. He knew Joshua was going to need this encouragement because he had plenty of reasons to be afraid. Joshua was following a legend. I mean, Moses led the people of Israel 40 years. An entire generation died out in the wilderness, and the next generation had moved up into leadership positions. They had never known a leader other than Moses. Moses led them out of Egypt. Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses gave them the Ten Commandments from God. He walked and talked with God. He saw God, and his face glowed because he had been in the presence of God. Joshua had done none of that. It's difficult to follow a legend. If you're a basketball player, a basketball fan, you might remember Gene Bartow. He resigned after just 2 years as head basketball coach at UCLA. Even though they made the Final Four 1 year and the Sweet 16 the next year, the pressure from the media and the fans was oppressive. He won 2 conference championships. He won 20-plus wins both of those seasons. They would be rewarded, but he would be rewarded anywhere else. But he followed the legendary John Wooden, who had won 10 national championships. And that's what the people expected. That's what the fans expected. And that's all Bartow could take, and he had to get out. I'm sure the pressure put on Joshua was to be as great of a leader as Moses. And it must have been oppressive at times. I mean, God may have called him to lead, but would Would he? Could he? I mean, he hadn't performed any miracles. Would the people follow Joshua? Would he have enough faith? He was leading an untested army into battle against a powerful enemy. This would cause sleepless nights for any commander-in-chief. So you can understand why God said three times in this first chapter of Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He says the same thing to us today. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you are fearful of, you be strong, you be courageous, because you're a child of the King. Because God keeps His promises, and God promises to look after His children. God knew Joshua needed a little bit more, so He said to him, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's exactly what God tells us today. He says, I will always be with you. Be strong and courageous. If you're afraid, be strong and courageous. I'm going to take care of you. If you're having a difficult time with family or a difficult time at work, or you're unsure what's going on in your future, you be strong, you be courageous. I'm going to take care of you. Isaiah wrote, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not easy to take someone at his word today. You know that. People break promises all the time. That's why we have contracts and lawyers and courts. Because when somebody says something or makes a promise, we want to make sure they're going to keep their word. God has never broken a promise, nor will He ever break a promise, because it is impossible for God to lie. He hasn't given us a signed contract because His word is proof enough. God keeps His promises. Now, the good thing is He gives us some reassurances. So in our remaining time limit, let me give you three reassurances that God gives us that He keeps His word. Not only do we have the word of God, but we have these things. First, the testimony of others. Now, that means people that we know in life, but it also means people in the word. God gave Joshua reassurances from an unlikely source. There was a Canaanite woman who was in this fortified city of Jericho. That's the first place they're going to attack. She was a prostitute. Her name was Rahab. She risked her own life to hide Israelite spies who had come into the city to see where the weak spots were. And they were being chased. They were going to be caught. She hid them in her house. Could have cost her own life. And then she told the spies this, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Joshua was afraid. He was unsure. Are the people going to follow me? Is this going to be all right? God sends this message from an unlikely source to say the whole country has melted in fear because of what God is doing through you. God will give you courage through the words of others, through the testimony of others, family members, friends. Remember, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You don't have to be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Here's the second reassurance. It's through the support of godly leaders, people who are around you, who are spiritually mature, who lead. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Now this is a huge confidence boost for Joshua, because this is really his first command that he's issuing. And the spiritual leaders of Israel who trust in God and who serve God, they immediately pick up the Ark of the Covenant and they start walking. And they go to the head of the line because they're going to be the leaders. And it took courage for them to do this because the Jordan River was at flood level. Now, we know all about flood levels here just in the last few weeks. You've seen the rivers and the streams and the ponds. You've seen everything come up past its banks. You've seen the news reports. And you're told, be careful because you do not go into a swift running river. You do not come close to that because even a foot of it will take you down and send you off into the rapids. You keep your car away from it. We know what's going on. And here God, Joshua tells the priest, I want you to go out into the river, the Jordan River, that's at flood stage. When you see others, especially godly men and women, whom you respect, who are spiritually mature, and they take courageous steps to be obedient, it is reassuring to know if they can do that, I can do that. If they're willing to take a risk based on faith, I should be willing to do that. I want you to know our church elders here have shown that type of courage and faith throughout this relocation process that we've been working on. And you, those of you who have been here a while, you know there's been setbacks. You know there's been obstacles. You know it's been a difficult path. But they never stopped believing in God's will. They never grew afraid. God is blessing their obedience. And you're going to soon see and hear the results of God's blessings. His love for Franklin Christian Church. His love for the lost. His love for the people living in our county. And there's another way of reassurance, and this is the third one, unexplainable circumstances. And that's exactly what Joshua had. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, while the water flowing down was completely cut off. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Joshua knew the moment the priest's feet touched the Jordan River that God was in this. That God was going to bless them, that God was going to protect them, and God was going to lead them. And when we are willing to take a step of faith, when we are willing to go into the deep, fearful of what might happen, but still doing it, God is going to bless that obedience. When God opens a door, we walk through it, God's going to bless that obedience. That's what He's doing here. And sometimes those blessings include the miraculous, the unexplainable, to reassure us of everything that is happening is God, that He's in it, that He's making sure that we can do it because He is with us and we obey Him. I have seen so many of these events over the years. I once sat with a woman who was given 6 months to live. And we planned her funeral service. Every detail of that funeral service, the pallbearers and the music and everything she wanted said and done. Short time after that, she went to see about an experimental treatment. And they went through the test. And they couldn't find the cancer. It was gone. Completely healed after all the tests, and they ran him a second time and they sent him back to her doctor, and the doctor just had no explanation whatsoever. She is still alive over 20 years later, and God got the praise. I've seen marriages restored against all odds when the couple is actually signing the certificate of divorce. And they stop for some reason and they say, let's one more time. Let's just see what let's go talk. The marriage was healed because of that. I've seen individuals accept Jesus Christ who for years refused to set foot in a church. And God intervened. And God challenged them and convicted them and to the point where they were ready. I've seen events that defy logic, that couldn't be coincidences, that were just astonishing and defied explanation, and they could only be credited to the presence of God in that situation, that He is in control and He is on the throne. And because of that, I don't have to be afraid and you don't have to be afraid. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When you're afraid, you look for God's reassurances. When you're afraid, you see what's going on around you and you know God is in this. Because if we believe His promises are true, we have nothing to fear. Even when we can't see Him, we must trust Him. Even though it may not make any sense to our family members or to our friends, we know God's in it. I don't have to be afraid. So what are you afraid of? Do you fear losing a loved one? Losing your job? Financial crisis? Aging, broken marriage, or death. Maybe God has called you to do something for Him and it sort of frightens you because you've got to step out of the box. You've got to do something that doesn't feel comfortable. Maybe it's to break a sinful habit in your life or to confront a wayward friend or family member, or to deal with a broken relationship. Or maybe He's called you into full-time Christian service and the ministry scares you because no one that you know or related to has ever done it, but God's chosen you. Trust Him. Be strong and courageous. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it is the action and the obedience in spite of our fears. Be obedient. Have faith in God's power, not yourself. Conquer your fears with His help. I mean, look at the list of things that we've talked about in this Avalanche series. The worry, selfishness, grief, debt, all of those things take our focus off Jesus Christ. It puts it on ourselves. It puts us on this life. Focus on Christ. Focus on God's Word. You can overcome these things. And that's why we've saved communion for the end today. And I'm going to ask our servers if they will go and take their positions. Because during this communion time, I want you to remind yourself not only did Jesus Christ die for you and die for your sins so that you could go to heaven one day, but He died so you would not have to be afraid of anything in this life or in the life to come. He died for you. So that you can overcome these things and put your focus and keep your focus on Him. That you can be strong and you can be courageous. So during your quiet time, I want you to think about what God has done and ask Him for help in overcoming any of those events, those emotions, the experience, so that you'll trust Him. And while you're doing that, I want you to pray for those around you. Because we're family. And communion involves the whole family. Not just us as individuals, but as a family. I want you to pray for them. Pray that their fears and their struggles will be dealt with through the Holy Spirit, just as yours. Pray for them to be strong and courageous. Pray for yourself to be strong and courageous. Father, let this time honor You. And let each person in this place, as they take communion, to know Your presence, to know You're here, to know that You love Your children. And we are indeed children of the King. In Christ's name. Amen.